Am I wrong?
Perfectly correct. But you know what, David? The late Tupac Shakur always said, he is not a role model. He's trying to live his life. And that is one of the greatest quotes that I think that we've missed, especially in the black community worldwide. I think that people need to go back and look at themselves all over again. And unfortunately, yes, we have crime. Unfortunately, yes, the predominance is on the younger side of prisons. But we need to understand, somebody would have set an example for those persons. A gunman didn't suddenly wake up at night and decide to murder somebody. Somebody had to have encouraged him. Somebody had to have been his idol and role model. Well, so where were the adults at that point?
Let me tell you something that I experienced last week. I think you would have heard this guy who used to call the call-in program, Rashid Foster. I went to his funeral. The funeral service was at the Westbury Chapel. He wanted it there. It was small for all the people who turned out. But I've been to a lot of funerals. I've seen people pull out all the money that they can for this final farewell. I've been to funerals where you had big choir and you had 5 and 6 priests and that sort of thing. I see the Holy Eucharist, long service. I've seen it all. But that one was special because it didn't have that. It was simple. And then we had to talk about this man who had little or nothing. Last time I saw him, he was on a bicycle down by St. Mary's Church. But for the little or nothing that he had, he used to go from business house to business house and ask them to set aside items that he then collected and took to victims of HIV/AIDS in Barbados. All right? The Friday he called me, the Sunday after that, I went to see him in the hospital. And one of my friends told me of this guy that they knew had died of HIV/AIDS. And talked about how the same Rashid had assisted the guy by actually going from point to point with his bicycle to pick up diapers and stuff for him. So when I saw Rashid, I said, but tell me, I heard about this story from this guy. He said to me, and I can also tell you that before he died, he said to me, he wanted to go to the beach at Brandon's for a sea bath. And he said, I took him on my back and took him down to Brandon's beach and gave him a sea bath. And then I took him back home. That is the kind of stuff that happens in this country. Little people who have nothing, who give more of themselves than a lot of people who have it all. Because I'm a journalist, so much of my life, I have always been fascinated by the underprivileged and the people who have little or nothing. And I bring that to you to just make the point that sometimes we are looking at the wrong people and in the wrong places. And you see all this talk about politicians. Let me tell you something. They do what they do because they want a vote. All right? The day that they don't have to get a vote, they ain't gonna do it. But those other people do it because they derive a satisfaction from helping their fellow man. And we need to spend a little bit more time looking at the people around us in our communities who do those things. Rashid was one. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
Mr. Ellis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm responding here to a gentleman you spoke to who said he looks after his mum.
Yes.
And you say very seldom you find men like that, so the men should be friends. I'm in a, condition, they have disabilities, and they have two sons, and they both look after me. It's such a privilege to hear people speaking about how they look after their parents. It's give me a feeling, right, to know that the other boy, your two boys, doing the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice to hear that, you know?
The question is, what kind of father were you to them? Because that's very important, huh?
I was number one. It wasn't, I would let them run away with nothing. I put them to sit down, I would speak to them and tell them certain things. If one come and say, Daddy, I want cricket bat. I said, no problem. I said, right now, Daddy don't have the money, but I see that you could contribute to it, you know, like, doing some chores around, extra chores around the house. Daddy, you serious? I said, yes. Mr. Ellis, let me tell you, the yard used to be fire breaking without fire. They really, you know, step up. And they would give them what they promised them. Their mum was the same age, she became ill. And the two boys looked after the mum until the Lord came and took her away.
And when you say look after you and look after her, what are you talking about? What exactly do they do?
Okay. On mornings when I get up, good morning, Dad, we want for breakfast. Some boys give her anything. Dad, you sure you want this or you want that? I said, no, I can't. But I give you what you feel like, Gabby. Now, as I said, there's two boys, Mr. Ellis. One were morning and one were afternoon. The morning guy, he would go off to work, but the guy, though, who is at home, he would give me breakfast, whatever it is in the mornings. And the guy who works in the morning time, after those days, he will look after me with supper, whatever, and snack after, you know? And it's a blessing, Mr. Ellis. The mother also, she couldn't really help herself. And dear took her in the bath and give her a bath and do everything. My in-laws here bring the clothes down here, let me look after them. They said, oh, no, not my mother clothes. I'm looking after them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I could praise them, Mr. Ellis.
Well, I thank you very much for drawing it to national attention. Because, as I said before, these stories and these experiences are so important to share with others.
Yeah, but Miss Ellis,
mm-hmm.
You have a lady caller who calls her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her voice alone makes anybody listen to this program. You know what I mean?
You miss Undecided?
Of course, man, of course. She stops to this program, right? You know, she brings a brighter side to it. You have a blessed day, sir.
You do too. Yeah, somebody has challenged me on this issue of the politicians, and I must confess that I can't be speaking about all politicians. Like, in everything, there are exceptions to the rule. But the general perspective that I have is that, you know, that's the way it is. And what happens in society, unless the media brings people to your attention and that sort of thing, nobody really stops to think about the contribution that this person really makes at a lower level in society without necessarily being recompensed for it or being recognized for it, you know. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, David, good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks for your program today, as always. And, you know, you see, this matter that you're on about things bringing to light people that lower down and so on.
Yes.
I wanted to fix on that in specific relation to our education system and the way that we need to look at one another going forward. I am of the distinct opinion that we need a review of how we see each other. I believe that God has given to each a gift. Whether a man believes so or not, the challenge is, would he look for it? And would we as parents and teachers and adults help children find their gift or core competence, as we will put it? This, rather than some specific academic excellence, would make people become conscious that they are very relevant and therefore they would be comfortable playing the role that they were called on to play. This would significantly impact the productivity and the social feeling and fabric of the society if we can effect this change. So I am hearing that they're saying that the conversation will start and that this will probably be the last time that there will be the secondary school exam. And I'm hoping that the stigma connected with that specific, not the exam, you know, it is the transfer to secondary schools and the relevant status quo that goes with the schools that needs to be changed so that children don't feel they are failures at 11 years old. It's too dangerous for the future of a country.
You really believe that whatever they do is going to result in that kind of transformation?
No, sir. That's only the start. That's what I started at the fundamental area, which is that we have got to, as individual parents and people, change the discourse and help people to find their core competence. And it stems from having a philosophical concept that everybody has a gift. The challenge is to find yours, because when you find yours, you are at peace with God and man. You are at peace with yourself. You aren't trying to be somebody else.
But finding your gift is only part of it. There's another part of this that is so important, is especially in a country like this one. Because you recognize that wherever you have gone and whatever you have achieved, we have all achieved that on the backs of other people, you know.
That is correct.
And
this is very true.
And if you operate from the premise, which tends to happen quite a lot these days, that you have been able to do it because you are bright, and because you are different, you're special.
No.
And it therefore means that you do not have... You don't really have to respect anybody else.
Because
you are on your own. The underlying disrespect is being shown at all levels, you know. The guy on the street who passes your neighborhood, your particular home, and swears at you for something minor, he's only reflecting the behavior that occurs in the office from time to time when somebody, whether it is the junior person or the more senior person, is just, you know, venting against the people around him or her in that kind of disrespectful manner. So how are we going to change that? How are we going to change that behavior?
That comes out of the plantocracy, our history, which we need to face up
right. And
understand that that is where it's from. Because if you give the lowest person in the society the authority tomorrow by passing them the keys or the giving them the power to dictate what happens with others, you will see the same
demonstration. So I'm confirming what you're saying. However, in the discourse that I just gave you in relation to understanding core competence, in that lies the fact that because everyone has a different gift, we all need one another. We cannot be successful as individuals, and that is so in a household, that is so in a nation, and that.
But where did we go wrong that so many people seem to have lost that?
Well, we allowed selfishness to creep into the system, and we didn't care about the man below.
But isn't that part of what is called development? It's a natural...
No. Isn't it
a natural thing for people to become more like that the more developed a society becomes?
No, but it is not. That's where no leadership will carry the people and direct and show, and don't allow. Because this idea that the 20% can control and we can make the decisions based on the 20% and carry the 80%. It's a joke. You will never get growth in the economy that way.
Well, you look at the economy, many people look only at that. We talk about the society as a whole. The economy is an integral part of the society. Because if the economy isn't working, the society will fall apart.
Believe it. I tell you.
But if the society isn't working right, the economy will fall apart too.
No, but that leadership brings the balance. And you need the economy to carry the society, but you cannot ignore the society.
Yes.
This it must go on together, and there must be a leadership that understands that, and that is what we are working at.
Yeah. I'm coming back to this question. Somebody says to me that they wanted to thank me for letting them and others of Westbury Road know more about Foster because they never heard anyone say anything good about him. And this is, you know, it's an interesting aspect of life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because people go off the rails in society in various ways. Because they've gone off the rails from what is seen as the norm does not necessarily mean that they are doing nothing good.
That's correct.
Because if you ostracize a person and you say to yourself, that person got on the wrong path, on the wrong track, and therefore I will have nothing to do with them, then you won't know what else they're doing.
That's
you will only
correct.
Just see the negatives.
Yes.
All right?
That's very important, and I think that it is critical for us as a nation because we are small. You can't push people in a corner and say, well, look at them over there. And I believe even China is finding out that now because even with the virus, you can't say, well, there's only a Wuhan, you know? Even though it's a big place.
It shows how interconnected the world is.
Yes, that's correct. We all are.
You know. All right, thanks.
One other point,
yes.
If you can take it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a road being done in the just below Coleridge where some element of a roundabout is being inserted. This thing is going to significantly reduce movement along there. And it is very narrow. I think the developers need to review what has been proposed or what is being done because the anticipation is that there are about 700 houses to come in that particular entry. When those people come in there with cars, plus the road is a main artery down from the airport, I think that what is being done there is totally inadequate and needs to be reviewed.
Somebody has raised that on social media already.
Right.
I heard discussion about it.
I just wanted to share it.
Yes.
That's how we have to do.
Thank you very much. Down to Brasta. The Brastats.
Ms. Ellis. Ms. Ellis.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. With the virus that going around now that nobody don't know where it's coming from, how they're getting it and catching it, you think it's a wonderful idea to be digging up Barbados now, pulling down buildings and sending stuff in the air to bring back down stuff?
Well, if your premise were correct, I might side with you, but I don't believe your premise is correct because all the information that I have seen suggests that people know very well how the virus is being spread. So
yeah,
there's no need for us to be cautious
stop.
About digging up. But that doesn't mean that they don't know how it is spread.
Well, I don't know if you listen to the radio that I listen to.
Well, obviously no. I look at the World Health Organization site on a regular basis.
Hey, let me switch back to Sandy before I go. I hear people talking about the BLP, DLP, and politics and things like that. But listen to me. For all the years I know politics in Barbados, people vote for a package, a good manifesto, a good promise, and you can win the election. If you ask 85% of the men that got more cars in Barbados who they vote for, they say they vote for the road tax. 90% of the people in Barbados got cars. You see who that voting was? 700. And every party was the same. It was a package, it was a well-done package. And then the pensioners. How you could get through that? It reminds me of the election
All right, sir. Thank you very much. This person says, well, I will be the first to admit that the education system as it stands is far from perfect. I fail to see how disbanding the 11-plus system seeks to address the core failings of the present system. Here are some of the core failings as I see them. School leavers are not equipped for the world on exiting the system. They lack life skills, both social and otherwise. She says, can't speak confidently, write a job letter, or fill out a simple form, etc. Learning difficulties are too often missed or recognized too late in a child's school life. There's too much tampering. Years in government, twisting the system to get certain children admitted to certain schools, not based on merit. We take children who can't master just two subjects, math and English, which is likely their first and only language, and place them in secondary school and give them 12 subjects, including French and history, and expect them not to feel like failures when we set them up to fail. We speak of an elitist system, and I cannot think of anything worse than having all privileged children only going to school with other children of similar backgrounds. All children who live in Prior Park, Wanstead and its environs will attend Queen's College, and those from Wellington Street, Baxter's Road and Carrington Village will attend St. Michael's. How's that for elitism? The person then says, here's my solution. They're not just criticizing. They say that we need to arm senior teachers with identifying children within the school with learning difficulties. These children should then be referred to a trained person attached to the ministry to diagnose the specific difficulty and advise on intervention. And there should be support facilities in place for assisting these children and their parents through their school life. There should be an exam for entrance into a school of excellence. Not every child on island needs to do it, just those who are performing exceptionally well academically. And there ought to be a school of academic excellence on this island, says the person. They had some other ideas, but I can't share all of it with you right now. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Good afternoon. It's 1:44. Look how the time has flown.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on, it prompted me to comment on something Mr. Callan just said to you.
Yeah.
He was talking about the physical, you know, he was saying that people might select a school because of the physical plant and so on.
Yeah.
I think he did mention that. But I wanted to ask him, I would like to pose this question. Why people select St. Michael's school? When you look at St. Michael's does not have anything much of a playing field, and I think the students play at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital ground, right? As far as I know, next door. But yet it is selected, and the physical plant is not as good as Leicester Vaughan or even Dighton Griffith. And those schools have excellent playing facilities, you know. So that is that. In fact, I don't believe that any of the for me, for example, they are three important consideration about the school. The quality of the staff, the quality of the students, and the physical plan. Good. However, I wonder how many parents sit down when they're selecting a school and analyze the school based on these three headings. You think many people do it?
I think many people do. And a lot of people do try their best to encourage their children, notwithstanding the fact that on several occasions, children don't necessarily get the marks that parents wanted them to get, nor did they get into these schools that they wanted them to. But something happens all too often where, first of all, I think that some of our schools have, the classes are too big.
That's true, I agree.
For the challenges that teachers face with the students.
That's true, I agree.
And, you know, even though all of the schools are equipped basically the same way and have talented teachers, and some of the schools that are more disadvantaged would, in some instances, have teachers who are better qualified than those that are the schools at the upper end. But what is different includes the fact that the classes are too big. And in addition to the classes being too big, there is a different kind of intervention that some of these students need. In all of the schools in Barbados, there are children who are showing tendencies to going off the rails.
That's right.
And what we are not hearing is a determined effort and a program that is aimed at, one, identifying and isolating these students, not necessarily taking them out of the class when I say isolating them, but coming up with a program of action that stays with them and their families, because that takes time, it takes effort, it takes money. And this could perhaps help some of them. Some of the parents need guidance. Sometimes they need more guidance than children.
No, the thing about it is that, and listen to him. Naturally, I remember I'll say this to you. Many years ago, I was listening to a discussion on the BBC, and one of the participants said that Nikita Khrushchev would scarcely destroy communism because communism made him. Right?
Yes.
And I say that to say this. One of the challenges that we build, how all we have to live with in a place like Barbados, is in relation to the education system, is that those people who were made by it will not destroy it. I firmly feel so. They will not destroy it, because when a guy can come and say, well, look, I went to X school and so on, and as soon as he rises in a discussion, I mean, they've been all Barbados, of course, but this is important to some people. And if you have nothing else going for you other than that...
You need to have pride within reason, though. You need to be proud of your school and your old school time within reason.
I'm not saying not, but all I'm saying is that these are things that we have to look at. I remember when, so some years ago, Sir Lloyd Sandiford wrote a paper on when he was establishing the community college. And his idea was to have a central sixth form college to take all the applicants, all the students who were eligible for sixth form into that college. At the time, I'm sure we have discussed it. I knew Mr. Barr would never accept it, right?
Did he reject it?
Hello?
Did Mr. Barr reject it?
But not the form. Mr. Lloyd's proposal was to abolish all six forms and have one central six form for all students entering that six form. But what they ended up with was a watered-down version of what the community college became. Now, Mr. Barr would never accept. I always felt he would never accept the community college, because as a politician, particularly in the ignorant Barbados of the time, when people who don't think or can't think, to put in the papers here, this guy went to Harrison College and London School Economics and those things, would enhance him in the eyes of simple minds who don't understand anything. And it was important. It's not important for these people. And that's how I see it. To me, it's important for people.
I want to tell you, I want to say to you that there really needs to be a greater examination of the number of people across Barbados who have made and continue to make outstanding contributions to the development of this country, who did not go to any of those schools.
I know.
There are so many Barbadians.
So many, I agree.
Who have made, and one of the things that I have noticed is that the society has beaten some of those people into a situation where they are quiet about who they are, what they have achieved, and where they are, and where did they get it? Because it was not considered a feather in your cap to have gone to school here or there. It would have been better if you had gone elsewhere. But what do you measure a person by? You measure that person by what they have achieved overall.
Of course.
And therefore, wherever you have been, you, that is your past. That is what has helped to create you, to make you who you are. You should never be afraid of that. You should never be ashamed of that. Even if you went to Dodds and then emerged from Dodds and to make something of yourself, you made something of yourself because of the experiences from Dodds.
But Mr. Ellis, he was, the same gentleman as Canada was telling you about, talking about schools and departments, but let's get it real, beyond perception. You know what it means, for example, every year, right? You're selecting your top students, you're sending, allocating them to two or so, two schools or whatever, three or whatever. And then 7 years after, you see splash across the front of the papers. The most people don't think, and most people don't think, as when the headmasters always tell me, that most people don't think, and they really thought it was so true. These people, that means a lot. Barbara, the scholarships, the fancy papers, every year it happens. Well, that means a lot
to
people.
We don't only do it. We don't only do it there. We do it at 11 plus every year.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it seems as though a child who, for instance, whenever I see the 11 plus, you're quite right.
It's the media. It's as a media construct. The media is responsible
for
that.
But you're a media man. You all need to do something.
But some things I can't change.
Sometimes,
you know how many things I may see, and I say, but, you know, really or truly, that's not the way that we should be looking at this thing, you know. But I have other people to deal with who have different views, and I still have to work with those views and stuff like that. So you can't change it in the way that you personally, I mean, for instance, I'll give you an example. In the media, from the time I came into the media, all the people who taught me about the work that we do, they always said to me, your focus is not on ministers, your focus is on people.
Right.
All right? When you go to an assignment, you go to the assignment to hear how things affect people. What the minister says must be translated into how it impacts on people. What we do, generally in the media, instead, is that we take ministers and pelt them up on a pedestal for them to curse us. At the end of the day, after a couple of years in a ministry, and I start to hear some of them right now talking about the media. And I listened to the House of Assembly the other day, and I hear somebody talk, because at the end of the day, they have no respect for you. You are nobody.
We
contribute to that each and every day by making them believe that the most important people in Barbados are the people who get a ministry, and the average people of this country that they serve and who put them there, they are nobody.
Right. But, Mr. Ellis, the thing about it is that when this propaganda, so I'm talking about the propaganda associated with something like the Barbados Club, that's powerful. That is very powerful. The simple guy who doesn't understand anything, when he sees the papers and he sees these people out there, it is a mystery place. My child must be there. This is a mystery place. There's something mysterious about Compton Street. There's something about mysterious now about husbands, former Canfields. Right?
No, I think that given my own exposure and stuff over the years, I think we have come a long way. The critical issue here is for everybody to be able to feel proud of who they are and what they are. Look, I am never intimidated when I see the people from Combermere get up and talk about up and on and that sort of thing. And the Rashid Foster's funeral the other day, a whole set of Combermereans went there and they sang the school song. I don't have a problem with that. They're in a complex with it. They are proud of who they are. But you know what?
Come on.
You know what? I am equally proud of the fact that I went to Ellerslie. I don't have to be ashamed of that. And I don't understand why you and I can't see that all of us, at the end of the day, come together towards the goal of national development, bringing up our children, having our families, looking for grandchildren, all of these things, you know.
But it's not as simple as that, because something that what is rooted, and don't forget, the thing about it is that what happens in the society, right, is people will select these, and what as you said earlier, I heard you said it earlier, and I agree 100%. You say whatever system they come up with will not change the fundamental system.
The elitist.
And it's not going to happen. But there are certain people who feel that their children, I mean, I heard a man said when he was a little boy.
But there are more of the rest than there are of them, you know.
But you know what he said? You know what? You would be shocked to hear this. I sat down, but I was a little boy at school. I went to coach party time. I was a little boy in the barber shop. In 1961, and I remember this guy, two guys said something that shocked me. One guy said, imagine, they were talking about when we were going to introduce about school fees. The guy said, imagine my child at law school sitting down beside certain people. You imagine that? There's a fact.
But that was that was a period when that would happen.
And one guy said, imagine that now we're going to reduce my status because I can't pay $2,800. You know what I mean? To him. I heard those two remarks.
I want to tell you that what I observed in former years, you see the modern high school, it is now no more. Louis Lynch had the modern high school. And let me tell you something. There were a lot of people who did not have access to the newer secondary schools, as we call them, and they couldn't get into the grammar schools, but they went to this private school.
I know that.
That school made a significant contribution by producing people of what was seen significant quality, academics and others, within the society.
I agree 100%.
You know, so it is not, you can get quality coming at you from various quarters. And it does not necessarily have to reside exclusively within the zone of the public school. And what we have seen in recent years, we have seen an upsurge, a reduction in private secondary schools because of the growth of public secondary education in the country and community college. And on the other side, we have also seen an explosion in private primary schools in the country.
Well, even naturally, it's obvious that there's people, you know, one school that I always like, I mean, it is a private school, see? But this is one school in Barbados that I always admire when I drove past that school, the convent. Whenever I drove past Canberra and I look in at the convent, that place looks so clean and tidy, a place that you want your child to be. I don't know, but it's me. There's all these schools in Barbados. When we pass that school.
We're coming up to time.
Okay.
We've had a fair amount of time together.
Okay, thanks.
I want to thank all of you for being part of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I really enjoyed today's program. We didn't have as much talk about just politics. We had a little bit of that, but we had a lot of things about life as well, right? And I really enjoyed the program when we were able to move with the flow, because I don't set the agenda, most of the time you do. Thanks to Michelle Brathwaite for being with us today as technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.